हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
सो Vyasadeva has given the elaborate description of the Vedic literatures in which he describes mostly karma kanda, where we perform worship of the Lord or worship of some demigods for the purpose of material gains. And Vyasadeva is being almost chastised for that by Narad Muni. He's saying that it is not just that by becoming religious one will become free from anxiety or happy. He is saying as long as one is matra sparsha ichhaya muhu, as long as one is having the desire for sense gratification, one is trying to acquire the objects of the senses. Now many people become sinful in the pursuit of sense gratification, and that brings the resultant karma, and that is what we see to a very large extent in society today. People are ready to commit gross sinful activities for matra sparshechaya, to maybe get the association of the opposite sex, to get some money so that they can enjoy in the future. But not only these people who have become sinful because of matra sparshechaya, but even those people who are pious but still are having matra sparshechaya. He says all of them, whether pious or sinful, as long as one has matra sparshechaya, what will be the situation? Atura chittanam. As long as one has the desire for enjoying the objects that are external to us, we will always be having anxiety. In fact, even if people don't believe that there is a law of karma and that we will have to suffer for the sins that we do, we can see the immediate karmic reaction of material desires. Just as we say that the fish out of water immediately starts trembling and suffering. Similarly, to pursue sense gratification is actually unnatural for the soul. And the instant result of the desire for sense gratification is atura chittana. One becomes filled with anxiety. Because when one wants the object to enjoy, that object is external to us, and there is no guarantee that we will ever get that object. Or even if we have got it, there is no guarantee that we will be able to protect it. Just like, you know, sometimes, say, if we are traveling in a train and we are having a laptop with us, then when we are sleeping also, because somebody just, some little pull comes immediately we wake up. Why? Atura chittanam, isn't it? But if somebody is not carrying anything valuable, then you can just sleep peacefully. Now of course, for a devotee also, he may also be possessing external things. But that is not for matra sparsha ichhaya. That is, anasakta savishayanitharam upayunyata. You are trying to use that in Krishna's service. But and the difference between the devotee trying to engage external things in Krishna's service and a materialistic person trying to utilize external things for his own sense enjoyment is that the materialist has no faith in Krishna. And so for him the external world appears to be like an enemy that is out to plunder everything. And that's why his anxiety is much greater than that of a devotee. Like for a devotee, he wants to get some external things to work out nicely. Just as now all of us are trying to hope that the Sankalp camp will work out nicely. The boys whom we have cultivated will come properly. This is also external to us. And this will also cause anxiety. But actually this anxiety is for Krishna's sake. And in this anxiety, a devotee's remembrance of Krishna increases. A devotee's prayer to Krishna increases. So, although this is also anxiety, this is not matra sparsha ichcha. Because this is not for the sense gratification of our own selves, this takes us closer to Krishna, whereas that takes us away from Krishna. So, how does one, when we are preaching, how does one get the ourselves, the compassionate conviction that others are suffering? Because in material vision, people don't appear to be suffering much. Sometimes they do tamasic activities, they get drunk and they fall on the ground, then we think they are suffering. But actually, if their goal is matra sparsha ichhaya, then we can be convinced that they are Athura Chittana. It's an inevitable, inescapable consequence. We see, what desires will people have? Generally, the desire that conditions of that is lust, anger, greed, and pride and illusion. And that's what everybody has. And if you don't have Krishna consciousness, then it's not that we have those desires. Those desires have us. We are under their control completely. So then naturally, Atura Chittana. Sometimes, actually, Bhavasindhu Plavo Dushya. Bhavasindhu means, sometimes in the ocean, sometimes people go for skiing, you see. Skiing or surfing. So when they go for surfing, they try to catch a wave. When they catch a wave, they go up. And when they go up, they look very attractive. Oh, they are high up and they are floating smoothly. But the same wave that has taken them up will also bring them down. So they're still in the ocean. So sometimes, because of the result of past good karma, even the materialistic people may be high up on the riding on the waves. And they may think we are happy, we are enjoying. And others may think, oh, they are also enjoying. And we may be in a boat, and the boat may be at a lower level. We don't know, they are higher than us. But then that's a wave, and the wave will bring them down, crashing. So, we see this with respect to the Indian cricket. If you see, you know, when India lost, we couldn't get into the Super 8 in the World Cup. Then, you know, those effigies were burned and people were garlanding them with chappals and they were scorned and condemned by everyone. And then, you know, that is a wave of karma going down. And then there was a 2020 World Cup. The wave of karma went up. And the wave of karma, when they came back there from Wankhede Stadium to the airport, there was a big queue, thousands of people waiting to welcome them. And now again the way of karma is going down, isn't it? There is adi bhautik klesh coming in the form of unfair umpires. So some of you don't know, it is nice. Anyway, the point is that the way of karma will take us up and the way of karma will bring us down.
So, people think that we are enjoying or we are suffering. But actually, the karma is, for those who are godless, it's simply the way of karma taking them up. And the same wave that takes us up will also bring us down. And that's why, as devotees who have Shastra Chakshu, even if the materialistic people are happier to be happy, you know, even if a student is a topper, I'm happy, why do I need God for? But actually even he needs Krishna, because it's just the way of karma that is taking him up. And that way of karma, nobody has permanently good karma. Actually, according to the Subhashita, it actually says that if a person is enjoying, then he should be sad. And if a person is suffering, he should be happy. Why? Because if he's enjoying, then his good karma is getting exhausted. And if he's suffering, then his bad karma is getting exhausted. So he should be happy. So, vision of Shastra Chakshu is completely different from the vision of the ordinary materialistic people. So, the point is that, you know, even if we are seeing people quite happy, in the way people live, they don't think that they need Krishna consciousness, and sometimes we may also think that they don't need Krishna consciousness. But they actually need it more than anything else. Why? The only boat that will enable them to be steady in the big wave that come and up and down is the boat of Haricharya Anuvarnanam. Now, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the boat is often compared to the human body. Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karna Dharam. That the boat is the human body. But here, the boat is compared to the glorification of the Lord. Because we may have a human body, but unless we learn to love the Lord and glorify the Lord, we still have animalistic consciousness. And we don't have actually the benefit of having the human body. You know, having the human body and pursuing sense gratification is like having a boat and spending one's life in making holes in the boat. You know, we'll drown faster. So that is what materialistic people do. We're losing the benefit of the human body. There are big sports stars, film stars, rock stars. What are they doing? Now, by their past karma, they have got a treasure. The treasure is they have got fame and they have got wealth and they have got position, but they are using that wealth of past karma to dive deeper into tamoguna and rajoguna, to create more and more suffering for themselves. In America, they have what is called spendthrift institutes. Spendthrift institute. Spendthrift means one who doesn't spend very lavishly, one who is cautious. So there are many wealthy parents whose children have been brought up stinking rich, and they just spend money like anything. And the parents, they have naturally earned all the money to give to the sons, children. But they see that their sons are so extravagant in spending money that they don't give the inheritance directly in the name of the children. It's in the name of the children, but through the Spendthrift Institute. That means the children, when they have to spend money, it's their own money. But they have to approach that institute. I want to spend this money for this, this, this. And the institute will sanction, depending on the desires of the parents who have already passed it. So the point here is that people are so extravagant in spending money. They have their wealth, but otherwise, many young people, they get out big and rent millions of dollars, and within a year or so, everything is lost and they become paupers. So in general, if the soul, when he gets a human body, he has got the treasure of the free will. The treasure of the free will. But because of the matra sparsha ichchaya that comes from our own past conditioning and from the world around us, no, we just squander away the treasure in sense gratification. And we don't use it at all for Krishna consciousness. So that's why it's very important that even if by past karma people appear to be happy, just like students who got into NIT or IITs, they got some past good karma by which they have come to this level. Because in many ordinary schools, they struggle just to get an education. But it is just the way of karma. It is not going to last permanently. And unfortunately, what are they using that karma for? Many of them, if they don't get guided properly, they will use that karma to go into rajoguna and tamoguna. Isn't it? Even the seniors do their ragging. Ragging is their initiation into sinful life. So, whatever, the matras for shecha may come internally or externally, but it is like dragging them into rajoguna and tamoguna. They will just waste the treasure of free will that they have got in just activity that will give pleasure for a few minutes. And then everything chapala sukha labala gire. So therefore, a devotee with Shastra Chakshu, he understands that everybody who is coming, everybody actually needs Krishna consciousness, and everybody who is coming actually to take the shelter of Krishna, you know, they are very special souls. Among all the people who are deluded by Maya, these are people who got little intelligence somehow, of that they are agreeing to practice Krishna consciousness, or at least take an interest in Krishna consciousness. We say that there are three things. There is Shraddha and then there is Nishtha. And in between there are three things. What are the three things? Sadhu Sangha, Jana Kriya, Anartha Nivrutti. Now, the main precipitation or the main catalyzation, the main propeller that takes a person from Shraddha to Nishtha is actually Sadhu Sangha. It's the association of devotees. That is what gives the water from the seal. So, for the materialistic people or the conditioned souls who are trying to come to Krishna's lotus feet, the association of devotees is extremely important. And in the association also, the great illusion of Maya is that she covers our intelligence and then she covers the covering. So that we don't understand that we are covered. And that's what materialistic people, they are in Maya, but they don't understand that they are suffering or that they are going to suffer in the future. So, have you seen or heard about this touch me not flower? Yeah. Touch me not. I mean, what happens? As soon as you touch it, it becomes defensive. So like that, most conditioned souls like touch me not. We try to give them Krishna consciousness and they say, oh, I'm not interested. So, whatever be the reason, that is that avaranatmika shakti is working, it's not allowing them to come out. The prakshivatmika shakti is the sense of objects which drag them further into sin. But the avaranatmika, even if they are getting, they say, no, they are not interested. So therefore, as devotees, we have to help people to come to Krishna at every level. So for example, as preachers, we will try to come and give the philosophy. However, because of the culture around us, as people are like touch me not flowers, they are suspicious, they are doubtful. And therefore, it is very important that when the voice, they come to the voice or come to a camp, you know, we make them feel emotionally comfortable and secure, so that defensiveness goes away. If a person is open-minded to Krishna conscious philosophy, no, anybody and everybody will be convinced. But the problem is, many people are defensive. They are suspicious, they are doubtful, they are like touch me not flowers. And then the philosophy doesn't go inside only. And if the philosophy doesn't go inside, then they will not be transformed. That is why a part of the preaching package is our behavior with the devotees, with the boys who are coming, potential devotees. Now, how much we are attentive, how much we are loving and caring, how much we are helping them feel comfortable, so that the defensiveness goes away. And of course, this is not emotional manipulation, because we want to do them good ultimately. So we want to actually connect them with Krishna so that they will become happy. And one of the main reasons why that many people have a aversion for religion or spiritual activities is that often they see that the priests in the temples are self-righteous. Rather than being loving and caring to the people who come, they are self-righteous and proud and act as if they are fallen people. So that is one of the main reasons why even when people go to temples, India, practically all Hindus go to temples. But how many Hindus actually look forward to sadhu sangha? Hardly anyone, because they have not got experience of proper sadhus. And not only that, the sadhus they get experience of also are generally quite having religious pride, that we are pure and you are impure. Yeah, a devotee's attitude is not like that. Now, recently I had the fortune of reading the autobiography of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So there he says, what was the first meeting, his first interaction with Vrindavan? He came in Mathura, the train just went off. And he saw so many sadhus over there. He was wondering, what is this? He said, now it is Janmashtami. You are in Mathura, this is the birthplace of Krishna. Then he heard about Vrindavan. He said, let me go to Vrindavan. So he's just walking along to Vrindavan, a bus came. And the bus itself stopped. He said, come in.
The driver really saw this sadhu, so took him in.
And then he got off the bus and he asked the driver, where is the river? Because he heard of Jamuna. And Maharaj heard about that. He always slip on the banks of a river. So he was going along and he said, there, right in the middle of the street, there was a Vrajavasi. He was standing with folded hands. Surprise, you are looking, whom is folding hands for Maharaj? No one behind. And he said, oh, this is the village of Krishna. And you are a guest to the village of Krishna. Therefore, I am your servant. Maharaj had travelled all over the world. He had never experienced anything like this. And then that person said, I will arrange for your food and staying. He said, no. He said, I stay under a tree in a village. He said, no, please. If you refuse my service, how will I go and show my face to Krishna?
So Maharaj was stunned by this culture.
So he said that he had gone to the Himalayas, he had seen sadhus who could to tremendous austerities, who had amazing mystic powers. But here he said, for the first time I saw people whose love for God or whose spirituality transformed into service attitude for others. Even those who were not devotees. So he said, this was something unique about Vrindavan that I saw. The many people who had tremendous spiritual realization and knowledge and austerity and mystic power. But how that transformed into humane compassion and humane service attitude. And then when he heard about Srila Prabhupada, and when he especially read Srila Prabhupada's Jaladuta prayer. Srila Prabhupada had no mystic powers in one sense. But he saw that what was Prabhupada's love for Krishna, he was praying to Krishna. My dear Lord, just imagine the situation of Prabhupada and compare any other ordinary person. You know, the person is alone on a ship to America. And on the ship he has got a heart attack. On the ship he has got seasickness. On the ship there is no doctor. On the ship the only food he can eat, the vegetarian food, is if he cooks himself.
in such a situation, what will a person pray for? A person pray, my dear, please protect me. Please, I don't want to die. Please protect me. But what does Prabhupada pray? He's praying, my dear Lord, please give me the words by which I can convey your message to them. Please. All the people are covered by Rajoguna and Tamoguna, and if they understand your message, they will become happy. So please, make me an instrument, make me dance, make me dance. So here is how for Srila Prabhupada, that same selfless, that same love for Krishna, I translated into selfless compassion for all living beings. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, we rejoice in all aspects of Srila Prabhupada's personality. We see Srila Prabhupada was a very powerful acharya, preaching and demolishing illusion. But Srila Prabhupada, on the other hand, was also a very, on a one-to-one basis, was a very loving person. And we see that when Prabhupada was in the Mishra Yoga Institute, and the Yoga Institute teacher was not allowing him to preach because Prabhupada was condemning this yoga. Because he was saying this is not for Satkal Yuga. So he didn't allow him to preach, but still when they were living together, Prabhupada was cooking food for him, Prabhupada was taking care of him, and that Mishra said that I was so unregulated, I would have died when I was sick. It was Prabhupada who protected my life. And now still now he has that appreciation for Prabhupada. So on a one-to-one basis, Prabhupada was very warm and loving. When people would come in the early days to 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada, although he had no money, he would give them some prasad, he would talk with them very warmly. And he would ask them about not only their philosophical inquiries, but he would ask about their general life. And Malati Mataji, Prabhupada's earliest disciple, she said that when we met Prabhupada, we felt that we have met our greatest well-wisher. We have met our greatest well-wisher. And that's why, actually, for them, the Krishna conscious philosophy is so alien. Everything about the philosophy. First of all, deity worship, both Christianity and Judaism are against that. And further, wearing strange clothes, becoming a vegetarian, everything was so alien. But by meeting Srila Prabhupada, they just got that conviction, right? He's our well-wisher. Because he was so warm and loving to them. And of course, he didn't compromise with the philosophy. So similarly, when we are preaching Krishna consciousness, we want to preach at every level. We want to connect the conditions to Krishna at every level. So at the physical level, we give them delicious prasad. And that also attracts them to Krishna. At the spiritual level, we have the highest philosophy. At the intellectual level, we have the highest philosophy. At the spiritual level, we have the holy name, we have the kirtans. And at the emotional level, we should have the emotional sensitivity and love and care. Of course, the love that we want, ultimately want to give them is spiritual. But if we can help people remove that defensiveness, that suspicion that is there, and if we can give the people the conviction or the faith that, you know, that we are among our well-wishers, that the devotees around me are my well-wishers, then preaching becomes much easier. If they feel that we love and care for them, then a big roadblock is removed and the philosophy can just enter into their brain and into their heart. So, you know, His Holiness Radhan Maharaj is himself very spiritually expert in administering the pure philosophy along with very expert love and care. You know, one of our devotees from IIT Kharagpur, he was trying to preach to his sister. And his sister was not ready to become. She was not interested in chanting mantra. And then somehow he was preaching for months and years. I was thinking, in my home, one person becomes a devotee, it would be so nice. But she was not really very interested. She was hearing the philosophy, but she was not interested. Then she got some university call in America. She went to America. And then we told her, okay, in America, he just found out the university where she was, Radhan Maharaj was there only. So she went, you please go and attend the lecture. So when she went, then Maharaj, actually in America, there's a lot of Maya, but they had a lot of associates also. In the sense that there are not so many devotees. So then Maharaj saw all the devotees, he greeted all of them and he smiled at them. And then next time they went to another place, she liked Maharaj lecture very much, so she came again. And all this happened without this devotee contacting his sister. It happened in 3-4 days. And then she met Maharaj. Maharaj smiled at her, talked with her a few minutes. And then after 1 week, she went to another place where Maharaj had come.
And then another Mataji, who is Maharaj's disciple, she met this Mataji before. And then she was planning to introduce Maharaj, her to Maharaj. And then she took her to Maharaj and says, Maharaj, I wanted to introduce you to my friend. So Maharaj looked at her and says, I want you to introduce you to my friend.
I have met her before, Maharaj. And she was so overwhelmed by that. And then he asked her, this devotee called his sister my friend phone.
And he asked her, how was your meeting? And then finally he was thinking, maybe I have talked with her about chanting so much. Should I ask her about chanting? I said, are you chanting? I chanted 16 rounds.
We didn't have to preach
it all at a personal, but just a little love and care that can transform people so much. That's why we have the highest philosophy, and if we can learn this culture, this sensitivity, and that is also a part of Vaishnava culture. That is not something which we are just adapting to impress or attract others only. That is actually a part of Vaishnava's makeup. That is sensitive to others. And we want not only not hurt them, but we want to make people feel comfortable and happy at every level, physical, emotional, as well as spiritual. So when we do this, then people will actually be open to take this Haricharyan Varanam. Then they will be open to hear. And what happens when a person gets involved in the chanting of the holy names and the passing of the Lord? Then rather than seeking happiness externally, they start getting happiness internally. Remembering the Lord, in glorifying the Lord, and then atur chittana, one becomes free from anxiety. So Krishna consciousness is not just a promise of happiness in the next life, it's a promise of happiness even in this life. So sukham kartum ugayam, become happy even in this life by practicing devotion service. And we're trying now to share the same culture of happiness with others. Sometimes as devotees, we feel, I have so many problems, I am not really happy. We have problems, but actually if we compare, if a person is not a devotee, then the kind of problems he has. See, a materialistic person is like a person who is blindfolded and is being beaten. You know, you don't know from where the next blow will come. And you know where to counterattack. You just get beaten, beaten, beaten. So that beating is because of our past karma. But at least a devotee, he's also being beaten. But the blindfold is being removed. He understands. He understands, you know, why I am suffering and what I should do to counter the suffering. You know that if there is suffering in my life, I have to chant Hare Krishna, I have to become Krishna conscious. But materialistic people, they don't know anything. They don't know from where the blow will come and how they will be beaten. And they don't even know what to do. So,
relatively speaking, nobody can be free from misery in this world.
But we can at least minimize the misery, and we can know how to counter the misery. And that we can share with others. So I'll summarize. I started first with how, if a person is seeking happiness externally, matras parche ichchaya, then the result is atur chittana, anxiety, constant anxiety. So materialistic people may not be appearing to be suffering. Like they may appear to be enjoying more than devotees also. But that is just the result of the wave of past karma taking them up. But the same wave will bring them down. And even when the wave is up, still they have, what are they doing when the wave is up? They are using that to get involved in more and more sinful activities. And then they are going to increase their atura chittana, suffer more and more. Therefore, a devotee being not misled by material vision, understand that everybody needs Krishna consciousness. And so we try to bring them to Krishna in every possible way. But unfortunately, people are like, touch me not. They become suspicious and doubtful as soon as we give them Krishna consciousness. So we have to make them comfortable and secure so that the mind doesn't remain defensive but becomes open. And then the Krishna consciousness philosophy can demolish all the misconceptions, can free them all from all doubts and help them come close to Krishna. And we see this in the life of, as we said, the Vrijavasis, life of Srila Prabhupada, life of Prabhupada Maharaj. How, when we show love and care, that helps people to take to Krishna consciousness much more easily than it would be otherwise. And then ultimately they can become free from anxiety by Haricharya and Varanam. So till then we may also have anxiety. But this anxiety for us, because we also have faith in Krishna and we are working for Krishna, this anxiety increases our Krishna consciousness. But that anxiety of the materialists causes them suffering. And as devotees, we may also have difficulties, we may have problems. But it's like a
person at least whose blindfold is removed. So we know why we are suffering and how to counter it. But most people don't know either of it. So thank you very much. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sankalpa Camp ki. NIDK Voice Bhakta Vrinda ki. I go everyone. Yes, when we say Jai, we are saying Jai for everyone other than ourselves. Actually, I have many of the second year people that are taking up a lot of responsibility for this camp. Amazing. All of you together. Very wonderful. Hare Krishna.